The following program is a presentation of the FlyPod New Media Network, www.theflypod.com.
Hello, and welcome to the Did You Know Show. I am your host, Alex Parnuk, and together we'll attempt to resolve some of the most complex problems on the planet, but in a very common sense sort of way, something that seems to be sorely missing in this age of media information overload. In doing this show, one would ask, why have I committed myself to this task? The plain and simple answer is, I want to get information to you that seems to be missing and not provided in the old media. So join me in the show through your interaction by providing comments, suggestions, and if necessary, criticism when you don't agree. You can contact me at shout@theflypod.com. Welcome back to the Did You Know Show, and especially welcome to those who are following my continuing series on the executive branch of government. I hope you are enjoying learning about those smaller entities that do all kinds of interesting and unusual activities under the auspices of the executive branch. Today's show features the CNCS, or Corporation for National and Community Service. Let's just see what we're getting from this organization that spends just over $1 billion in taxpayer monies. Just keep this in mind as we delve into the CNCS. The purpose of this corporation is to promote volunteerism at the state and local level, supported again by our tax dollars. I begin with a brief accounting as to the whys and whens relating to this specific part of the government that is within the confines of the executive branch. This particular service, the CNCS, came about due to the passage of the National and Community Service Trust Act of 1993, and it is this current legislation that I will focus on. But before 1993 legislation, there were earlier pieces of legislation relating to this issue. Going backwards, there was the National and Community Service Act of 1990, and before that, we had, in 1973, the Domestic Volunteer Service Act, which addressed two distinct programs, one called VISTA, Volunteers in Service to America, and the other, the National Senior Service Corps, comprised of three minor programs called Retired and Senior Volunteer Program, the Foster Grandparent Program, and the Senior Companion Program. And before that, we had to go back to all the way to John F. Kennedy, who originated the idea of VISTA, which was founded in 1965. Now finally, to be up to date, the CNCS was reauthorized and expanded in 2009 under the Edward M. Kennedy Service America Act, amending the National and Community Service Act of 1990 and the Domestic Volunteer Service Act of 1973. It was Congress's intent that government, and I quote from the 1993 law, throughout the United States, there are pressing unmet human, educational, environmental, and public safety needs, close quote. And delving into the background of both the 1990 and 93 legislation, I believe the key word we should consider is unmet as to needs. It was the intent and reasoning of Congress that with the passage of the 1993 legislation, which was passed to amend the 1990 legislation, which would further increase government's ability to meet those unmet needs of communities relating to education, environment, and public safety. Within the body of the 1993 law and under the heading of Findings and Purpose, it was written in Section 2, Subparagraph B, Item Number 5, I quote, reinvent government to eliminate duplication, support locally established initiatives, require measurable goals for performance, and offer flexibility in meeting those goals, end quote. I would ask the listener, keep in mind, reinvent government and eliminate duplication as we proceed into this discussion. Now let's get to the nitty and gritty of this CNCS, or Corporation for the National and Community Service. This corporation, as it is formally referred to and authorized under law, was to have a board of directors and a CEO. The board, according to the 1990 law, was to consist of 15 members appointed by the president with the advice and consent of the Senate. The board was required to meet at least 3 times per year, and its members reimbursed at current rate under the law, allowed travel expenses, including per diem in lieu of subsistence, at rates authorized for employees of agencies under Subchapter 1 of Chapter 57 of Title 5 for persons employed intermittently in the government service. This board was to oversee the activities of the corporation. Then there's the chief executive officer, who, he or she, runs the show. That person, also appointed by the president, with the advice and consent of the Senate. Now, below the CEO are found the inspector general and the chief executive officer. Directly under the chief executive officer, we find the general counsel, the chief of staff, with operational responsibility for three additional activity groups: external affairs, government relations, and R&D, research and development. Next, we have the chief operating officer with responsibility over accountability and oversight, a chief financial officer, information technology, procurement, administrative services, and finally an office called human capital. I assume that's just another way of saying human resources, but you know how the bureaucracy likes to come up with new ways and words for describing things. On an even par with the chief of staff are the chief of program operations, who has responsibility over the six primary activity groups within the CNCS, which are AmeriCorps, state and national, AmeriCorps NCCC, or National Civilian Community Corps, AmeriCorps VISTA, Volunteers in Service to America, Senior Corps, Field Liaison, and the Social Innovation Fund. Now, I believe a brief discussion is in order here so as to get a feel for what is going on within these principal activity groups under the Chief of Program Operations. First, we have AmeriCorps, state and national. This is that part of the organization that handles individual state volunteer programs at two levels, state and national, with funding grants being put out and overseen by the national part of the organization. There is a network of offices in all 50 states, in Guam, Puerto Rico, the Virgin Islands, and the District of Columbia. The group provides grants to national and local nonprofits such as schools, government agencies, faith-based and community organizations, and other groups. Secondly, AmeriCorps NCCC, or the National Civilian Community Corps. This program element is that part of the organization which drew its roots from the old Civilian Conservation Corps of the 1930s. And now promotes a full-time team-based residential program for 18 to 24-year-olds. This segment of the CNCS works through five regional bases located in California, Colorado, Iowa, Maryland, and Mississippi. It is there that trained individuals do community service over a period of 10 months. Approximately 1,200 young adults participate in this program yearly. The individuals chosen are provided approximately a $4,000 living allowance, housing, meals, medical benefits, up to $400 per month in child care benefits, if applicable, uniforms, and after completing their program are eligible to apply for the Siegel AmeriCorps Education Award. The award varies and is tied to the United States Department of Education Pell Grant Program. And since AmeriCorps' inception in 1994, more than 800,000 alumni have earned more than $2.4 billion in education awards. Also, within the confines of this program, a new initiative has been launched between the NCCC and FEMA to establish a FEMA-based unit of 1,600 Service Corps members to be available and solely devoted to disaster preparedness, response, and recovery. The third segment of CNCS is AmeriCorps, VISTA, or Volunteers in Service to America, which is that part of CNCS that works in low-income poverty areas. This from the government site, and I quote, "VISTA members generally do not provide direct services, such as tutoring children or building homes. Instead, they focus their efforts on building the organizational, administrative, and financial capacity of organizations that fight illiteracy, improve health services, foster economic development, and otherwise assist low-income communities. VISTAs develop programs to meet a need, write grants, and recruit and train volunteers." Now, the fourth segment is the Senior Corps. Senior Corps is that segment which organizes and supports volunteer activities by those over 55 in programs such as foster grandparenting, volunteering in local or national organizations, and a senior companion program. A Senior Corps provides the funding through grants that then support these various activities under the auspices of the CNCS. Fifth is the field liaison, which is a segment that coordinates activities amongst these various elements. And lastly, the Social Innovation Fund, which evaluates the various programs, placing emphasis on those that are successful. And here, I'll let the government speak for itself again. I quote, "The Social Innovation Fund, a key White House initiative and program of the Corporation for National and Community Services, combines public and private resources to grow the impact of innovation, community-based solutions that have compelling evidence of improving the lives of people in low-income communities throughout the United States. The SIF invests in three priority areas: economic opportunity, healthy futures, and youth development." Now, looking at its 2014 budget, we find that there were specific programs funded by tax dollars. In the principal budget listing for 2014, there were four elements highlighted to get to the over $1 billion spent within this entity. These are operating expenses, over $756 million, National Service Trust, over $207 million, salaries and expenses, over $80 million, and lastly, the Office of Inspector General with a small budget of $5 million. As is often the case in my reports, I have found it difficult to find numbers of direct employees for those smaller entities of the executive branch. But suffice it to say that leadership and staff positions in these organizations are remunerated quite nicely, with the CEO at somewhere near $160,000 per year. And on the bottom rung are those that sign up for the NCCC for 10 months and are paid the sum of $4,000 for living expenses. From their annual report, I could not find how many full-time employees there were, but I could tell you that the NCCC planted 41,068 new trees, recruited and coordinated 23,079 volunteers, constructed 272 houses, and claimed to return approximately $13 million tax dollars through tax preparation services. At this point, I hope that you have a better idea of what this Corporation for National Community Service is and what it does. The simplest answer is that it is the money man for grants to do things that in the past were done gratis, out of a sense of charity by average citizens of this great country. Recall I asked you to remember several terms used earlier on: eliminate duplication and reinvent government. I'd like to begin to close, but not with my words, but with the words of the CEO. I quote, "Our AmeriCorps, Senior Corps, and Social Innovation Fund programs tackle the nation's most pressing challenges, educating students for the jobs of the 21st century, assisting veterans and military families, helping communities rebuild after disaster, increasing economic opportunity, preserving the environment, and promoting health and well-being." Each of these highlighted elements by the CEO, education, guess what? The Department of Education does the stuff, doesn't it? Veterans Aid, Veterans Administration, military families, the Department of Defense, disasters, FEMA, economic opportunity, the Department of Labor's purview, environment, the Environmental Protection Agency, and health and well-being. Isn't that Health and Human Services? So as you can see, these are all items that are under the direct purview of other major governmental departments. And lastly, within the 2015 Congressional Budget Justification for the CSCN, we find that the Office of the Inspector General found substantive deficiency with the programs of the CNCS. This from page 80 of the report regarding financial accountability and regulatory compliance. The report states, "The OIG audits have uncovered serious lapses in these areas. For example, one of the few grant audits completed in fiscal 2013 revealed tax financial management by Atlantic Human Resources, Inc., a senior corps guarantee. More than $1.4 million in costs claimed by the AHR during the 2008 to 2011 were duplicative, unsubstantiated, or incurred improperly. These overcharges, which reflected fundamental weaknesses in financial system internal controls, represented 71% of the cost charged under the grant." And this is just one example. It is not to say that the CNCS does not do much good and helps many people. But listeners, what are we reinventing and duplicating? I'll let you answer that last question yourself. Well, folks, that's my show for today about the Corporation for National and Community Service. I hope you've gained a better insight into the workings of this subset of the executive branch of the government. And till we meet again, thank you for listening. Well, until next time and our next Did You Know show, keep your powder dry and your silver coins in your pocket.